Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 2 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 14, 12 through 26. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us, fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 14, starting in verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb. Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." What an odd thing, right? Jesus sends them into town to this random stranger that they've never met, who just happens to be carrying a jar of water. Now, the interesting thing about this is, for most cultures around the world throughout history, women carry water. Now, I don't want to go into the whys or whatever. I mean, probably a lot of misogyny and things like that that go into that. But generally, men didn't carry water. Women would carry water. It was the task of a woman or young girls to go and fetch water in jars and carry it. And so this would kind of stand out a little bit that there's a guy carrying water. That's a little bit of the background behind that. That's why they would have known this guy. I mean, if you can imagine, they don't have running water, no plumbing per se. And so there's probably always people carrying water, but it's a guy carrying water. So you'll find a man carrying water. It's like, oh, okay. Don't see that very often, but all right. Sure enough, they go in, there's a guy carrying water, and they follow him. Right, and they're walking behind him, and he's probably looking over his shoulder a couple times, thinking like, "Are they following me?" But you know, he's got a big jar of water, so it's heavy, and he's not thinking about that so much. And finally, get to the point where they say, "Hey," and I wonder how this came out of their mouths, right? Because the way Jesus puts this to them, he says, "Ask him, where is my room? Where is the room that you've already prepared for me?" Right, so there's a conversation going on here between Jesus and God and this random stranger the disciples haven't been privy to. And so you wonder, are they thinking, is this supernatural, or has he talked to this guy at a time that we didn't know? Or what exactly is going on here? But they go and they say, okay, we don't know exactly how to say this, but Jesus told us to say it like this, so whatever. Where is the room that you've prepared for Jesus for him to celebrate the Passover? Guy's like, "Oh, yeah, I recognize you. You're with him. Yeah, it's up this way. It's up this way." And they've got to be really shocked. Like, really? You have a room prepared for him? And at this point, they're probably used to Jesus doing things like this, but you can never really get used to this, right? You could never really just get used to this kind of thing where Jesus says, "Yeah, you go in here, find this guy, ask him where the room that he's already prepared for is." What do you mean Jesus already prepared? Like, you had a meeting with, no, just trust me. He's got it ready for us. And it's, you mean he's got a room ready to celebrate Passover for his family? No, he's prepared a special room just for us to celebrate the Passover. Go find him and he'll take you to it. And then, you know, you make the preparations there and then we'll come later. Okay. All right. Sure. You know, I imagine those are the kind of, now again, this is not what it says happened here. This is my own imagination running with this, right? Again, they've probably seen Jesus do this kind of thing many, many times, but again, you could never really ever get used to that. Every single time Jesus does something like that, it's got to be fascinating and amazing, and it's why it's in here. Verse 16, the disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one, they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." It is one of the 12, he replied, one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better if he had not been born. That is chilling to hear Jesus, God in the flesh, say that of Judas, that the one who's going to betray me, it would have been better for you. And he's speaking in like the eternal sense. It would have been better for you not to have been born than for you to do what you're planning to do here. That gives me chills. Jesus says some things in a superlative fashion occasionally. I don't know if he's ever said anything quite like that. And he said that if you cause one of the little ones to stumble, it'd be better if you had a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. That's pretty harsh by itself, but this, it'd have been better if you'd never been born. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. And I don't know that there's necessarily anything for us specifically to learn about our individual situations here. If there's anything for us to learn, I pray that it's something that we would never even get close to. Right? If there's a lesson for us in this, for us to take personally, I would pray that whatever actions that would lead us to landing in a situation like this, I would pray that we would be, you know, miles away from jumping off that cliff, right? There's so many other scriptures in the Bible, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, where you've got to jump over a lot of hurdles, a lot of fences to get over to this cliff to jump off of it. So again, there's better lessons for us personally to learn, but when it's talking about Judas, when Jesus is talking about Judas, this is chilling to hear him say this. Now, the disciples, they know Jesus well enough by now. He says, this is going to happen. And they're all thinking, well, he knows everything. Like, he's always right. He knows everything. He can read our thoughts. But I haven't thought about betraying Jesus. Is it me? Jesus, am I the one? I'm not going to do it, but you know all of these things, right? And so they're all going around really, truly puzzled by this, thinking everything he says is always right. We don't understand half of what he's saying. And here, this is really weird, but maybe he's talking to me. Jesus, is it me? Am I the one that's going to betray? I don't think I would. I'm not planning on it, but is it me? And they're probably thinking in those terms. They don't know that Judas has already made plans for this. Only Judas and Jesus know that. And so this is a direct message straight to Judas and Judas alone. But all of the rest of them are very perplexed by this, as I'm sure you and I very much would have been as well. Verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus is saying that he's not going to drink wine. And this is him being very literal here. "I'm not going to drink this again until the feast of the Lamb is talked about in Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This moment when Jesus does return and he does come back as the conquering king who takes over the entire earth and subjugates the entire earth under his reign. It won't be until all of that takes place, 1,000-year reign of Jesus is over, until the eternal city of Jerusalem descends, as it says in the book of Revelation, and is established forever on earth, where God will make his resting place on earth with man forever. Jesus says, that's when I will drink this again. We know, of course, this is the Last Supper. This is the Eucharist, Holy Communion, or whatever you call it, this is that thing that Christians have celebrated and have partaken together for almost 2,000 years now. And when we gather together, we take the bread and we break it and we eat it, and we take the cup and we drink it. We do it in remembrance of Him. We remember what Jesus has done for us and what He's about to do for them. This is very symbolic for them. They don't fully understand it yet, but He's telling them this cup, He's like, this is my blood that's poured out for you, right? The blood of the Passover lamb was supposed to be spilled and put on the doorpost to atone for the people's sin. And here Jesus is that Passover lamb, the annual sacrifice that's to be made. The blood of that lamb was shed to atone for the people's sin. And Jesus is now saying, I am that sacrifice, and my blood is that atoning blood for your sake. He's saying this is a new covenant. And we know that there's several covenants throughout Scripture. He's saying that the covenant of how I relate to you and how you are redeemed to me says no longer will it be through the animal sacrifice. It said, my perfect blood is spilled for you. We understand this is, Paul talks about this very clearly, this once for all. There is no continual sacrifice. There's no annual sacrifice now. Jesus, in His perfection, stepped into humanity and He poured out His blood for us that we would know Him forever. If you've never accepted Jesus, and I want to say that what accepting Jesus looks like is pledging your allegiance to Him. It's more than just believing in Him. The Bible's very clear. The demons believe in Him and they tremble at His name, right? They know what's coming. They have a belief, but their allegiance is not to Him. Belief and believing in Jesus is not what this is about. It's pledging your allegiance, your life, your heart, your mind to Him, to follow Him and obey Him. If you've never done that, if you've never made that decision before, if His blood is not covering your sins and atoning for your sins to redeem you to God, that's never something you've chosen to do, I want to encourage you to pray with me today. Join me now. Jesus, pray with me if you've never prayed this before. I am a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sins? I pledge my allegiance to you. I want to follow you with all of my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength. So I pledge my allegiance to you. I'll follow you the rest of my life. Would you save me? Would you redeem me? That I would spend eternity with you, Jesus. I repent of all my sin and I turn to you. Save me, Jesus, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that for the first time, I want you to reach out to me. All of my contact information is in show notes and description. Please, please reach out to me. I want to talk with you. I want to have a personal conversation with you about next steps that you definitely should take if you just prayed that with me. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.